in verse 23 again. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. We've been in a study of late based out of Galatians 4. And Galatians 4 explains that a son or daughter of God, meaning one that has been born of God, one that's been born again, will continue to live like a slave as long as their understanding is darkened. And the Bible has a lot to say about sons and daughters of God, children of God, chosen people of God, the offspring of God, living like slaves, even though that's not who we are. And there is a lot the Bible has to say about why God's children live beneath their privilege, live far beneath what God has created them to accomplish, the way God has created them to live, not just in their conduct, but in their condition of life. And then we come, of course, to the New Testament, and Jesus had things to say about this same issue, because he came not just to make the Jewish race sons and daughters of God, but Jesus came to make whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord a son or daughter of God. The Bible says he came to his own people, but his own people rejected him. But as many as received him, whether you're a Jew, a Gentile, Greek, it doesn't matter the nationality of birth. Whoever receives him, he gives the power, the authority, the right, the privilege, removes any barrier and makes it possible for you to become into existence as a child of God, as a son or daughter of God. But what we see, of course, is it's one thing to become a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of God, but it's another thing altogether to live like a son or daughter of God. And it's sad to me that so few of God's people have ever had this explained to them. And because so many people do not understand this, they feel like and believe that everything should just automatically change and automatically be different in the way they live and their life reality. And when that doesn't happen, a lot of God's people become disillusioned. They think they were sold a bill of goods and that it wasn't really as good as the preacher said it was, and it really didn't make the difference that the Bible says it's made. But it's because we don't understand the difference between our being, our understanding, and our doing. Remember, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. And your spirit, you are a spirit, you are a spiritual creature. That's your being, and that's the part of you that's been born again. That's the part of you that became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's now your true nature. But your understanding was not born again. Your understanding is a work in progress. And we have to give God room in our lives. We have to give him place in our lives. The group of men and women in John the 8th chapter, Jesus said, "My word has no place in you." What does that mean? It means there was no room in their hearts. Their hearts were already full of other philosophies, of other ideas, of other ways of living and doing things. And so Jesus brought them not just a new way, but the right way, the truth way of living and doing things, of understanding and then doing. But there wasn't any room in their hearts for what he had to offer to them. Their heart was already full of other things. We could say it this way. They were already set in their ways. And so they gave no place to Jesus and his ways of seeing and understanding and ultimately doing. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers." And, of course, this is referring to God bringing his people out of slavery in Egypt. And we know that he brought them out with a mighty hand. We know that he brought them out with signs and wonders. We know that he brought them out with miracles and divine intervention. And what, of course, we see in the Old Testament, the plagues that came upon Egypt. But God didn't just bring them out of slavery so that they would no longer be in slavery. He brought them out of slavery so that he might, keyword might, bring them into the promised land, bring them into their best life. He had to bring them out before he could ever bring them in. But we said there's a key word there, and that word is might, and might is a possibility based upon an unfulfilled condition. The Bible is full of the word if, and a lot of preachers and teachers preach and teach as if the Bible never says if. A lot of people incorrectly preach and teach that whatever happens is God's will, and whatever happens is God's design, and that, you know, if you want to know what God's will is, just, you know, keep watching, and it'll happen. My friend, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we must seek out and discern and understand what the will of God is, that we must have it revealed to us, and that the Holy Spirit is here showing us these things. Remember, we have God's will and desires for our life, but then we have our own will and desires for our lives, and then you've got what the devil wills and desires for your life. And so, I don't want to just like lose you from the very beginning this morning, but if you believe everything that happens on planet Earth is God's will, you're not reading the Bible. Things happen every day on planet Earth that are not God's will. And if you think just because God wills it to happen, it automatically happens, again, you're not reading the Bible. We see very clearly that there are all kinds of things that God desires to be happening in your life, in your family, in my life, my family, in His church, in His people's lives, and all this other stuff. That's not happening. Let me give you an example. He's not willing that any should perish. But people are perishing every day. Not because it's God's will. It's not because it's God's will. So when we talk about Him bringing us out so that He might bring us in, there is effort required on our part. And the effort is not what a lot of times we think it is. In other words, we try to do things and accomplish things without the necessary understanding to accomplish and do those things. There's all kinds of examples that I could give you. I had a pretty big project that I wanted to bite off and tackle with my truck. I had to replace the condenser. I'd never done anything like that. And didn't even really know where to start. But I got me some understanding off of YouTube. Amen. I watched two or three different mechanics do that same job on their car or somebody else's car. And then I realized, okay, if I just follow this step by step by step by step. But now, if I had tried to do that without the understanding, I would have probably ruined it. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, take that same simple basic concept and let's apply it to the Christian life. So many people who have been born again, now they're trying to live the Christian life without the understanding of Christ. Without the understanding of who they are in Christ, without the understanding of what's been done for them in Christ, without the understanding of what's been given to them in Christ. Matthew mentioned in the worship service about when the Lord really touched and impacted him. And he wanted to live for God, but he didn't believe that he could. Right? He wanted to live for God, but he's like, man, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to, you know, just phone it in and pretend. And that was one of the things that held him back. But see, what he didn't understand is the power of the Holy Spirit that would come on the inside of him and help him and teach him and lead him and guide him. But far too many of God's people are laboring to try and live the Christian life without the understanding, right, that is necessary to be successful in living the Christian life. And they get tired really fast. My friend, it gets old trying to get God to give you what He's already given to you. It gets old trying to get God to make you something He's already made you. It gets old trying to get God to do something for you that He's already done for you. And it wears us out. And we don't have any energy left for worship. We don't have energy left for fellowship. We don't have any energy left for coming to church. And that's what I meant by these last couple of weeks. We've talked about people becoming disillusioned because, you know, they think the Christian life is one thing when they're trying to do it. They are born again, but they're trying to do it without the understanding necessary to live the life that God created them to live. And it can become very frustrating. So He brought them out so that He might bring them in. He wanted to bring them into their best life. In the same way, He made you a son so that you might live like a son. But just because He made you a son doesn't mean you're automatically going to live, behave, experience, and enjoy the way a son or a daughter of God is meant to live, behave, experience, and enjoy the things of God. So what it basically boils down to is the Israelites were trying to possess Canaan with the understanding they took with them from Egypt. Their understanding was forged in Egyptian slavery. They were slaves. They lived like slaves, they thought like slaves, they understood like slaves. Now God's bringing them out of slavery, But the understanding, the mindset, the attitude, your understanding is the way you see things. The understanding is the way you process things. Your understanding is the way you see yourself. Our self-esteem, our self-worth, our self-image, all of these things are wrapped up in this overarching truth of our understanding, how you understand things. Now, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes, because we all deal with and are overcoming insecurities in our lives in different ways, okay? Some people are very social and they never meet a stranger. Other folks, not so much, more introverted. You know, we all have our different dispositions and things of this nature, and the devil's trying to identify that, whatever it is in your life. God made you that way to be a blessing and not a curse to you. But the devil's always trying to identify these things and try to work those things and use those things against you. Are you still with me now? So to the extent that we're dealing with, to the extent that I'm dealing with, to the extent that you're dealing with insecurity in any way, shape, form, or fashion in your life, right? It's not so much that it's an insecurity problem as it is an understanding problem. Because the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. But again, it's one thing for God to make you righteous. And if you've been born again, you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But it's another thing altogether for you and me to understand like a righteous man or woman. So many of God's people who have been made righteous, they do not have a righteousness consciousness. They have a sin consciousness, meaning they've been made righteous, but they don't think like a righteous man or a woman. They've been made righteous, but they understand like someone who is still a sinner. And that's what we mean when we say the Israelites were trying to possess Canaan with the understanding they took with them from Egypt. You cannot inherit, are you following me now? You cannot possess all that God has given to you in your life reality with the understanding of a slave. And we see this in their life, an example. But now we also see it again in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 1. So the Israelites were freed from slavery in Egypt. I mentioned these things last week. I'm going to mention them again this morning. We talk about these and use this so much on Wednesday nights in conjunction with our study on understanding salvation and the new birth. And those three things are what God's done for you, who God has made you, and what He has given to you. Three things, okay? Very, very important, okay? What He's done for you, who He's made you because of what He's done for you, and what He's now able to give you because of what He's done for you and what He's made you. See, when you were born again, you became an heir of God and a co-heir, a joint heir with Jesus Himself. Amen. Father God has given you His kingdom. He's put His kingdom in you. He's given you His Spirit. He's put His Spirit in you. He's given you His name. He's put His name in you. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. You've been made free. You've been made righteous. You've been made holy. Again, how do I know this? I've looked in the mirror, the mirror of God's Word, and I see these things. Okay? Amen? Are you still with me? So, what He did for you, now, we can look at what He did for them coming out of slavery. When they were slaves in Egypt, God did a lot for them, did He not? He raised up Moses and trained Moses, sent Moses to them. He used His servant Moses to bring judgments against the Egyptians. All of these mighty works, all of these miraculous interventions on their behalf. They were there. They witnessed this. They witnessed darkness so thick you could feel it, and yet their lights were on where they lived in their house. They experienced and knew that God was working on their behalf, but they knew it, but they never understood it. What's the difference between knowing and understanding? When you understand it, that's how you see it moving forward. They knew about the hand of God working on their behalf to get them out of slavery in Egypt, but they did not have the same expectations that God would work for them mightily and powerfully and miraculously to get them through the wilderness into the land of Canaan. Their understanding was, He brought us out here to die. That's how a slave thinks. That's not how a son thinks. Are you following me? That's how a slave processes things. Because a slave considers themselves to be a piece of property. A slave's understanding is I'm owned by somebody else. A slave's understanding is I have very little worth. I have very little, meaningfulness or what have you. Very low self-image. Very, very low self-worth. Very low self-esteem. Amen. Now, again, it's so much easier to talk about them than it is to talk about us. But how many of God's people today are struggling with these same areas in their lives? Low self-image, poor self-image, low self-worth, low self-esteem. Don't understand our value. Don't understand our worth to God. Don't understand how precious we are to Him. Don't understand how much He loves us. Don't understand what He's done for us. Don't understand who He's made us. Don't understand what He's given to us. Can't see it because, remember, if you look through one lens, you're blinded to whatever you can see through the other. And as long as they understood like slaves, they're looking at everything, processing everything. It's how they saw things. They're seeing everything like slaves. And so they consider themselves to be, you know, listen to me, please. When we talk in terms of slavery, there were Galatians 3 and 26. The Bible says that if you put on Christ, you're in Christ. There's neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. And in those identifiers, if you will, he's talking about gender. He's talking about social status. He's talking about income. He's talking about the DNA even that gave us our original identity in the flesh. He's saying that if you're in Christ Jesus, you've now become something and somebody that is above and beyond and supersedes even the DNA that made you a male or a female, even the DNA that and the social strata and all these other things, right? But now watch this. If you were a freeborn Jewish male, you had lots of privilege and lots of opportunity in their society, okay? If you were a slave-born Greek female, I'm not exaggerating when I say this. There was livestock that people considered more valuable than you. And this was what they were raised. This is the understanding that was forged in them by their experiences. Things that they experienced. The cruel bondage, the Bible says, that they were raised up in. And so this is why something so ridiculous would come out of their mouths like, God just brought us out here to kill us. See, if you see yourself as worthless, you don't think God values you. Are you following me? If you see yourself as worthless, you think everybody else sees you as worthless, including God. If you see yourself as a failure, you don't respond to other people like you're the greatest success that ever put on a pair of shoes. If you see yourself as a failure, you think everybody you interact with and deal with sees you the same way. And so why would they ever want to help me? Why would they ever want to do anything good for me? Why would they ever want to give me a job? Why would they ever want to allow me into their organization? Why would they ever want to let me be a part of this or that or whatever? And this is how people live their entire lives, feeling like they never fit in anywhere, like they never belong anywhere. And that is rooted in, please hear me, that's rooted in understanding. So why would they ever accuse God of just doing nothing more than bringing them out in the wilderness so that he could kill them where nobody would be available to bury them? Man, that's so messed up. That could not be any further from the truth. But that was the way they saw themselves. That's a slave's understanding. That we're worthless. That we're nobodies. That if we drop dead making these mud bricks, they'll just feed us to the alligators and give our station to somebody else and keep trucking like nothing ever happened. So I'm not trying to be hard on them, and I'm certainly not trying to be hard on me and you. But that was one of the things when Jesus talked about this in John the 8th chapter, and it was recorded for you and me. Remember when he tried to offer a group of Jewish men and women in John the 8th chapter, when he tried to offer them an opportunity to be made sons of God and abide in Father's house forever, they responded by saying, we've never been slaves to anybody. How dare you? What's that saying? Denial is not a river in Egypt. Amen. But notice their denial. Thank you, Jesus. Man, it's like you work and work and work on these sermons and you get up here and it starts coming out. Amen. Let's do this. Let's comment on this. Amen. You got a few minutes? Amen. All right. John the 8th chapter. Watch this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. Now I put that word in there. That's eleutheroo. Okay. Eleutheroo. That's what Jesus said. Remember, Jesus wasn't speaking English. Okay. He was speaking Greek to these folks. Okay. So he says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you eleutheroo. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Except for they didn't say eleutheroo. They said eleutheros. Jesus didn't say eleutheros. He said eleutheroo. He said eleutheroo, but their understanding, remember your understanding is the filter through which you process information. Jesus said eleutheroo. They heard eleutheros. So when they said it back to him, they said eleutheros. Jesus didn't say eleutheros. He said eleutheroo. And I guess you figured out by now that these words mean something different. Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free. This is talking about the new birth. This is talking about you and me being made free from sin by being born a second time of a seed that's free from sin. Amen. Sin is not your nature anymore. If you've been born again, you do not have a sin nature. Do not believe the lies of religion and people who tell you that if you've been born again, now you've got two natures. My friend, there's no such thing as one thing having two natures. It seems like, it feels like, sometimes even smells like and looks like that we have two natures. But it's the only reason it seems, looks, feels, smells like that is because your old nature left some residue on your understanding. Your new nature is free from sin. Your new nature, because you've been born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, your new nature is as free from sin as Jesus is free from sin, because you were born of His seed, you become a partaker of His nature. You say, if that's the truth, Pastor Mark, why do I still struggle with sin? Because of your understanding. A new creature who understands like an old creature will still live like an old creature, even though you are a new creation. So a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Indeed means in your performed action. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word, there he is, my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father. You do what you have seen with your father. He's going to explain to them that they're of their father, the devil. And that did not make them happy when he told them that. Now, first thing I want you to see here is that these people refused to accept that they were in bondage or had ever been in bondage or had ever lived in bondage. What we see in Galatians 4 is that when we lived in bondage to sin, to the opinions of others, to the weak and beggarly elements of this world, to the lust of our flesh, that it formed within us an understanding in the same way that living literally in Egyptian slavery formed within the Israelites the understanding of a slave. What is Jesus saying to us here? He's saying that we all are dealing with this in one way or another. And listen, you may have lived a pretty good life. I got that already. You may have never, done some of the things that got caught up in, some of the things that other people got caught up in. But remember, this world system is controlled by the devil. This world system is controlled by the devil's proxy, which is money, right? And that's one of those, the Bible says you can't serve God and money. And I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but every person in this room, you may have never served been enslaved to other things of the flesh, but one thing, every single one of us, we've served in that system of money. And it's affected our understanding. Man, the Lord's doing some work in my life. We'll talk more about it. He is helping me here. Ooh, he's helping me here. Amen. But let me just praise God. So, Jesus, notice he said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. What was he saying here? He said, I'm not talking about geopolitics here. I'm not talking about because they were in bondage to the Roman Empire at that moment. Their descendants have been in bondage to basically every developed nation that ever existed on planet Earth. But Jesus isn't talking about outwardly, he's talking about inwardly now, right? So let's go back to it. When he says that you know the truth and the truth will make you free, he used the word eleutherou. And eleutherou means to make free from the power and punishment of sin. Man, somebody just missed a good spot to get excited right there. Jesus has made us free from the power and the punishment of sin. Anybody know how he did it? He did it by taking the power away from it, by absorbing the punishment for all of it himself on your behalf. And Jesus is inviting these men and women to receive from him what only he has to give, and that is freedom from sin, to be made a new creation, to be born again, and to be a sure enough descendant of God, not just a descendant of Abraham, but a descendant of God himself, born of the seed of God, and abide in God's house forever, not just the house of Abraham forever. And to make them free from, the power and punishment of sin. But how do they answer? We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? They said eleutheros. What does that mean? Eleutheros means free in the sense of being able to do whatever you want to whenever you want to. Well, that's telling, isn't it? That's telling right there, isn't it? Who do you think you are, Jesus? We can do whatever we want whenever we want to. That's what they were, that was their response. So do you see now why when Jesus says if you're a slave to if you commit sin, you're a slave to sin? That's how the devil lures us in, right? Think about it now. I'm trying to stitch some things together. I've been trying to do it since June. Amen. We're gonna keep at it. Praise God. It's a beautiful thing. Don't misunderstand me. I come here on a Sunday morning. I got all this laid out. Man, I'm ready to present it. It's like, you know, it's like a sermon note you'd want. It's an outline you'd want to like frame. I mean, it's like beautiful, right? And then the Holy Spirit just starts speaking to me about all these other things. You're getting ahead of yourself, son. I'm saying, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Coming back to it, okay. But if we go to Luke 15, where Jesus talks about this same issue, we see a man had two sons. The younger understood his father to be generous, understood his father to be loving, understood his father to be giving, understood his father to be one who, if he asked, would more than likely give to him his inheritance. That's pretty cool, isn't it? He takes his inheritance and he goes to a faraway country and cuts a fool big time, right? The Bible says his prodigal means wasteful living. I'm going to keep saying it over and over again because we need to be reminded of this, okay? We like to call this the parable of the prodigal son. When he wasn't a prodigal, he was restored. I think this is revealing issues in our understanding that need to be addressed. Why do we insist on calling him the prodigal son when he was the restored son? I think it's because we relate to him more as a prodigal and understand him better as a prodigal than we understand him as one who was restored. Let me say it another way. If we saw ourselves restored more, we might see him restored more. He wasted all, the Bible says he then yielded himself, he presented himself, he subjected himself to doulos, to slave. Became a servant, joined himself to a man in a faraway country to be his servant because there's a famine. He was broke and he was starving. And so what did he do? Before he ever made himself a slave, he was starting to feel like one. Are you following what I'm saying? He started to see himself as a failure, as a loser, as somebody who had wasted it all, can't show myself, my face at home anymore, blah, blah, blah. And so notice now, your outward condition of life, your outward quality of life, your outward conduct, your outward behavior will always line up with your understanding, even if your understanding isn't correct. What you understand about yourself determines how you behave. Amen. Even if it's not who you truly are. Whew, that's important. And we see it, we're seeing it spelled out in this young man's life. But now watch this. All of these things are forming, just like it happened to the Israelites, all these things are forming within him the understanding of a slave. He sees himself as a slave. And then the final blow was rejection. The final blow was rejection. He was starving to death. He was on the squad that was responsible for feeding the pigs. He's feeding the pigs and he's so hungry, he asks the men in charge, can I have some of what you're feeding them before I die of hunger? And they told him no. Listen to me, please, okay? The devil has been targeting your understanding for much longer than you've even been alive. The devil's objective to keep you and me from ever understanding like a son or daughter of God is so important to him that he started generations prior in your family trying to get you. That's why I say it all the time. My mother, nobody else in her family went to church, but as a young girl, she got up and started walking to church because she wanted something better and different for her family one day. That's the hand of God in my life. So in the same way that the devil's trying generations before, God also, many generations before, is working so that we can understand, so that we can realize. And of all the things that this young man dealt with and experienced, that was gradually, over time, the failure, the fake identity, you know, where he's trying to act like he's somebody that he's not, wasting, all this other stuff, right? All of those things were forming within him this wrong understanding, this poor opinion, poor self-image that he had of himself. But listen to me, please. The devil's ace of spades is rejection. Few things can be more effective at forming within us a wrong understanding of ourselves and a poor self-image of ourselves than being rejected by other people, especially people that are very important to our lives, people that should be caring for us, should be nurturing us, should be developing us, should be helping us, that ultimately reject us. And that's the devil's doings, man. I'm telling you, it's the devil's work. So look at this man when he comes, look at this young man when he comes home. Look at how his understanding has changed. He doesn't see himself as the baby boy, the apple of his daddy's eye, who would give him his inheritance before it's time. He sees himself as a slave. I'm no longer worthy to be my father's son. I'm going to go home and see if he will make me one of his servants, one of his douloses, because my father cares better for his slaves than this man does. My father feeds his servants well. Now I want you to hear me, please, okay? That young man did not come home to be a son. He did not come home for restoration. He did not come home to see what his father would do for him, what his father would give him, or to learn how his father still saw him. None of that. He was looking for a place to crash so that he could work on himself. Am I right about it? He was looking for a safe place where he could get so he could get his feet back under him, get some things figured out, and just, I hear people say it so many times, and I'm not trying to offend you, just hear me, right? It's like, you know, I just got to work on myself. I just got to work on myself. I just got to work on myself. Listen to me, please. If you could have fixed it, you'd have fixed it a long time ago. All right? Are you kidding me? He wasn't interested in fellowship and restoration. He was interested in some place he could work on himself and try to get his life back together. Right? Do you ask how many people come to Jesus like that? They don't come to be loved and restored and for fellowship and to find out what's been done for them, what's been given to them, who they've become in him. They just come because, got to try to get my life back together. Got to try to work on myself. My friend, that's not what this is about. It's not what this is about. He still understood himself. He still had the understanding of a slave. How do I know? His dad put shoes on his feet, ring on his finger, robe on his back, and the whole time his dad is giving him and doing all these things, he can't see it. He still, remember, how you understand is how you see things. He still sees things through the lens of a slave. And his dad is putting these things on him, and all he can say is, just make me like one of your servants. Just make me like one of your servants. Now watch this. Watch this, please. It's back to those weak and beggarly elements that he talks about in Galatians 4. What does that mean? It's the poor substitute system the world has duct taped and wired together to try to compensate for what we lost when Adam sinned. It's weak and beggarly compared to the powerful and wealthy ways of God's kingdom. And part of those weak and beggarly elements involves this understanding of I've got to earn it so I can deserve it. And he comes to his father with this attitude, with this understanding that he's a slave, he's not a son. But if his daddy will just give him a chance, he will try to be as good as he can be and work as hard as he can work and not mess up and not ever shame the family ever again. And hopefully one day, maybe 25 years down the road, he can earn his way back into his father's right standing. That's the understanding of a slave. And when we have the understanding of a slave, we don't know what to do with the goodness that God is pouring out on us. We don't know what to do with these things. We don't. Matter of fact, so not only do we not know what to do with it, our minds reject it. It bounces off our brains like a BB bounces off a boxcar. I mean, it's like, what? What are you telling me? I've been given the kingdom. I've been made righteous. I'm just as holy as Jesus is. What are you telling me that I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places? I've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, again, we're like, I don't deserve that. I don't earn that. I'm not worthy. How many times do we say it? I'm not worthy. I'm so unworthy. I'm this, blah, 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 blah. And then from that, here's another one, man. It's like a train whistle goes off inside of me. I mean, it's like, I'm just so broken. I'm just a broken person. I'm just a broken person trying to help broken people. And we're all broken together. And isn't it fun to be broken together? Because if we weren't all broken together, we wouldn't have nothing in common. And so now we're broken. You are not broken if you've been born again. A slave understands like that. That's how a slave understands. A slave sees himself as broken. A slave sees himself as worthless. A slave sees himself as unlovable. A slave sees himself as unvaluable. A slave sees himself as having nothing to contribute. A slave sees himself as got to earn and deserve anything that I get in life, and I might as well go ahead and not get my hopes up too high, because even if I earn it and deserve it, I may not get it. That's the understanding of a slave. Listen to me, please. A slave sees everything he wants and needs out in the world around him, trying to find it, trying to get it, manipulating people, trying to get somebody to feel sorry for him, trying to get somebody to, little help over here, please, blah, blah, blah. And we think that the world has everything that we want and need. Listen to me, please. Let me show you how a child of God thinks. A child of God thinks like this. The world doesn't have what I want and need. I have what the world wants and needs. I have what they want and need. They don't have what I want and need. I have what they want and need. Do you see the difference? So many of God's people trying to find what they want and need from the world. And the mirror plainly says, I have given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness. As long as we have a slave's mentality, though, what? We're going to keep trying to find it out there. Think somebody else has got what we need. Therefore, you are no longer slaves, but sons. You are no longer slaves, but sons. But sons. Come on, Matt, Vanessa, Daniel, praise God. This is where the young man got off in his understanding. Because he didn't have the fellowship with his father that his father wanted to have with him. That young man thought that his lump sum of cash, let's just say it that way, when his dad stroked him that check for $1.7 million, that was his inheritance. We don't know that. I'm just using a big number, okay? All right, son, we've done all the math, and here I had to sell some property. I had to liquidate some of the assets. One of our business holdings over in Samaria where we processed the wool, I had to sell that. But here is your inheritance. It's $1.7 million. You know what the young man thought? I finally got me some rest. I finally got me some freedom. Right? 1.7 mil, man, we free to do whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it. Right? I can go wherever I want to go. I can live however I want to live. I can buy whatever I want to buy. I can do whatever I want to do. Until he couldn't anymore. Right? My friend, true freedom is not free to do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. That's the devil's lie. That's the Lutheros. True freedom is the Lutheros. Free from the punishment of sin. Free from being a slave to sin, to our flesh, to the opinions of others, and to the weak and beggarly elements of this world. Amen. 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 Can I pray for you? Father, thank you. Thank you this morning for doing in us what only you can do. First of all, with a new birth and making us new creations in Christ Jesus. But then, Father, as we're learning to cooperate with you, as we're learning to take the yoke that Jesus has offered us, as we're learning to long for our understanding, as we're learning, Father, to turn the TV off and put the phone down and get with you for a little while, and let you teach us and show us and reveal to us and do what only your Holy Word and your Holy Spirit can do deep within us, Father. And that is form within each and every one of us the understanding that belongs to a son or a daughter of God. Father, that we would understand, that we would see things, Lord, not the way a slave sees them. Not the way somebody who feels worthless sees them. Not the way somebody who feels unworthy and no good sees them. But Father, that we would see them, Lord, as someone that you paid the highest price for. As someone that you made somebody. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord. Please help us. Wherever we may be on this journey, Lord, some this morning, just hearing some of these things for the first time. Some, Lord, been hearing about them longer than they've known me. But, Father, it still comes back that this is the one stronghold the enemy is trying so desperately to sustain and maintain. But I thank you that we're breaking free from a darkened understanding, Lord. I thank you, Father, that with your help, we're seeing things as they truly are. And, Father, the difference that it's making in our lives, breaking free from a darkened understanding, Lord, means we're breaking free from dominant negative emotions. Breaking free from a darkened understanding means we're breaking free from the insecurities that keep us quiet when we should be speaking up. Breaking free from a darkened understanding, Father, is breaking free from a mindset that we don't have anything to offer anybody, the world, the body of Christ, the kingdom. An understanding that we absolutely do, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. The men that are going to serve communion, if you would come, please. Amen. If you're a guest with us this morning, we would love for you to partake of communion together with us. If you're served first, if you would, hold your emblems and we'll all partake together.